As we encounter our scripture for today, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And as we encounter those scriptures, we find Paul saying this to the Ephesian church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God for the people of God. As we bring ourselves to study and meditate on the scripture, I'd like for us to think about this. Grow up. Grow up. It starts before we're even aware of it. It's not that it sneaks up on us as much as it's part of who we are and what we do. It's life. It's called growing up, and everything that is alive is supposed to be growing. If we're honest about it, some people want to grow up too fast. Say amen. They want to do things before they're ready or mature enough to do them. There are others who suffer from the Peter Pan syndrome. They never want to grow up and do everything in their power to give others the impression that they're still young, no matter how immature it makes them look. And we see it happening both ways. There are people whose clothes are inappropriate for their age, whether they're trying to look younger or trying to look older. We see people who act inappropriate for their age. They act like children, although childhood is a long, long way from where they really are. Or they try to act like adults, though they lack the experience and the maturity of adulthood. And with every age, inappropriate action, that person's immaturity stands out. And so for some, the question will always be, when we're talking about growing up and being mature, does your maturity cause you to stick out in the crowd? Or does your maturity cause you to stand out from the crowd? And of course, the underlying question is, are we willing to grow up? That's a life question. But fortunately, it's the same question we have to answer about our relationship and our faith with God and with Christ. Are we willing to grow up? This letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus was written as a letter of instruction. It's not difficult to understand why, because when a person or people are new to something, it may take them some time before they fully understand what the newness is all about. or what it all means. And the church at Ephesus was new to this faith in Jesus Christ. New enough that Paul knew that growing or maturing in their faith was not an option. They had to grow up in their faith using those gifts of the Spirit that Christ gave them until they became fully mature Christians. Paul knows, as we all know, that anything that has life will grow. And so he writes this letter, which leans upon three basic truths about Christian maturity to this church that has new life in Christ. The first truth was that they needed to understand why Christ gave them the gifts that they had. They needed to understand that it wasn't for their own ego or their personal celebration. Their gifts were to be used to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to ensure that everyone who was coming into the faith would be able to benefit from Christ's presence in the life of the church and of the believers. It was, as Paul asserts, for the purpose of teaching and building the church until the church fully represented who Christ is in word and deed. The second truth about Christian maturity was that they needed to be guided and prepared for those philosophies and belief systems that had nothing to do with the love of Christ. They needed to be aware of those teachings that were more about human wisdom and clever conversations and less about the wisdom that comes from God in Christ. They also needed to be aware of philosophies that directed people away from the foundations of their faith into humanist wisdom, which can't begin to compete with the wisdom that comes from God in Christ. And the third truth was to lead them to the fact that Christian growth, more than any other growth, must be a growth that finds its foundation, in fact, its very life, from the Christ who called us and claimed us as his own. He suggests that the only growing up that means anything at all is growth built upon the love of Christ, a growth that promotes love within the community, growth in the church, and God's love for the world. But is Paul's letter only to this church at Ephesus that has life? Or is it an invitation for us to get busy doing the same thing the church at Ephesus is being asked to do, to grow up? And if my ears and my mind and my soul and my spirit are hearing these words of Paul correctly, then my every inclination is that this scripture is saying to us all, grow up. You see, brothers and sisters, Christian growth has to be intentional. Unfortunately, this concept of God's love is not natural to us. We are born into it, in fact, born anew into it. And I could go over all the scriptures from God's word which point to Christ's instructions for us to love one another. I could show us that loving one another isn't natural to who we are because Christ has told us we only know love, at least the kind of love that is God's love, because God first loved us. God showed us what real love is. And so we have to put forth some effort, guided by the Holy Spirit, to live in this relationship with God so that we can grow into our faith and into our understanding of Christ. That means opening ourselves up to study God's word in an intentional effort to grow and come to full maturity in our faith. But we can't do it alone. That's why Paul reminds us of the gifts that God gave us. You see, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, none of us can do it alone. We can't grow on our own because none of us knows everything that there is to know. That's why God spread the gifts among us, is so that none of us has to carry the church. In fact, all of us share a responsibility for each other's growth. We have to function as one body in order to function as one body. We can't afford the luxury of trying to do it all alone or depending upon someone to do it all. There is a story that showed up in Sports Illustrated magazine several years ago, and it was a story about the Detroit Lions, who had about 25 years ago a 2-0 start in their season, despite the retirement of Hall of Fame football player Barry Sanders. And their coach, a guy named Bobby Ross, after a losing season in 98, took a long, hard look at himself in the offseason. And he said all of the losing made him distant from his team because he was so engrossed in the game preparation that he lost sight of something very, very important, the human side of the game. And so he started 99, that 99 season, trying to improve his rapport with the players, spending more time in the locker room and less time alone in his office. And the result had been a better effort and more teamwork from the players. He said, maybe in the past that we all subconsciously fell back on Barry Sanders, knowing he'd get it done. What we've tried to focus on in this new year that they were winning is, hey, this isn't a one-man game. Now we all have to work together. And I believe that's how God designed the church. It's so we know that none of us can do it alone. I believe God outfitted us all so that we would know that we need each other to accomplish God's mission for the church. We need to work and grow together, encouraging one another, teaching one another, sharing our gifts with one another, and speaking the truth in love to one another, so that in our efforts to help, we don't leave a trail of broken, bruised, and bloodied bodies and spirits along the side of life's road. That wouldn't speak well about God's love present in us, the church, or the world in which we live. Learning to depend on one another is a part of the maturing process of growing up, and we all need to grow up in that regard. And there's another part of life that needs our attention if we're going to grow up in Christ, and that is that we have to make an intentional effort to do it. We have to avoid those frivolous things that lead us away from our faith in Christ and make an intentional effort to grow up and mature so that those things that get in the way don't make growth more difficult. Now, it may be true that some things will come with just living, but the reality is that some things we have to do, putting away our childish attitudes and behaviors that get in the way of our growth. There was a movie titled Courageous, and a group of men, all of them fathers, were sitting around a table, and they were just talking about life and growth and just about things that helped them to become real men. And it started with one of the fathers at the table, and he made a resolution that he would be a better father. And it led to a question that was asked around all of them around the table. The question was, how do you do that? How do you become a better father? And as he began laying out the things that he was going to do, he realized that he couldn't do it all by himself. Now, it was a simple question to those sitting around the table, because the question that one of them asked was, when did you first think of yourself as a man? And of course, everybody had a different answer, because they all had different lives. But one man's commitment to become a better father wasn't something he was willing to take lightly. And if the same question was asked about us in a different way, when did we first think of ourselves as Christian? Even if we had different answers under different circumstances, the question would still be on the table. Did we take it lightly? Have we been intentional about our growth in Christ? Or do we just take it for granted without doing much else about it? You see, brothers and sisters, for us and those in the church at Ephesus, the question is about our growth and immaturity as people of God. And the truth of spiritual growth still may be God loves us just the way we are, but doesn't want us to stay that way. What God wants for us to do is to grow up. And to grow up in Christ in a way that we mature in Christ. And so I say to you, as I sometimes have to say to myself, grow up. Grow up. I say it not as a demand, but as an invitation to mature in our relationship with Christ so that the church of Christ can become what Christ envisions it to be. I say grow up so that we may become fully mature in Christ, mature in ways that we are personally challenged to use those gifts that Christ has given us so that we can be all that Christ has called us to be and move each day to become living examples of Christ's love active in service to our community. And the church can be everything that it's supposed to be. I say grow up so that we can come to know the truth about God in Christ in ways that encourage us to invite all people as our neighbors to join us as committed followers of Jesus Christ. But in order to invite people to join us as committed followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be committed to defend our faith rather than shrink from, deny, or live in ways in which we dispute our faith. I say grow up so that we as a church and the whole body of Christ, and specifically us as individual members of Christ's body, the church, may grow and mature as the full body of Christ. I say grow up so that we may be the embodiment of Christ's love in our lives and in the world, to become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. I say grow up so that we can maximize the spiritual gifts that we've received from the Holy Spirit, building up one another in love. And when that happens, we will have matured into the full body of Christ, having put aside our differences in doctrine and faith, and the body of Christ, the church, and the head of Christ, church, will finally be one. And that's the word of God today for the people of God.